equine experiential learning, equine facilitated psychotherapy. Now, if those phrases strike you as New Age gobbledygook on horseback, there's someone I'd like you to meet. Linda Kohanoff is a horse trainer, a riding instructor, and the author of The Tao of Equus. She's part of a collective of horse people in Tucson, Arizona, who explore the healing potential of working with horses. And when she talked with Ann Strainchamps, Linda Kohanoff described how she first got the idea of using horses in therapy.
What I noticed was that my horse and all the other horses at this public boarding stable would actually mirror the real emotional state that their owner or rider was in, regardless of what kind of social mask that person was wearing. So if somebody was angry one day and shows up at the barn and pretends like everything's okay, but really they're seething with anger inside, then that horse would start to mirror that person's authentic feelings behind their social mask. Or if somebody was really peaceful and focused, then a horse who might be disorganized with somebody else riding them would suddenly become very peaceful and focused themselves.
Well, I can see that this would make riding horses incredibly challenging, because the angry person would wind up with an angry horse, which is what the angry person might be least able to deal with, and the fearful person might wind up with a really fearful horse. So how do you get from there to horses actually helping people with their emotions?
Well, the nice thing about it is because they're able to mirror the emotions behind the social mask that everybody likes to wear with each other, is that you can actually tell what's going on with somebody, what somebody's truly feeling, even when they don't know themselves. A lot of times people will go to a psychotherapist not knowing why they're having such problems with the relationships or why they're not successful in life. And they're so out of touch with their own feelings because they're used to putting on the happy mask or the mask that is in control of everything, that they can't access their own true feelings. And they can sit in a psychotherapist's office for months even and not truly be able to access those feelings. Whereas when you're with a horse, you can see immediately what that person is feeling. And also, when the person begins to change and adjust and their anger turns to fear, the horse is going to mirror that. And when that person truly becomes more balanced and more peaceful, and they really are balanced and peaceful, then the horse is immediately going to reflect that as well.
Is it always that the horse is simply mirroring the rider's feelings, or does the horse ever bring his or her own feelings into the equation? And in that case, if there's sometimes two sets of feelings, how does the trainer sort out which is which?
It's a fascinating process, and it really gets into some of the more sophisticated aspects of this work and why you can't get certified in this work in a weekend. You really need to study this over time so that you can determine, what is the horse saying? Is the horse actually in physical pain himself? Is the horse having a bad day? Is the horse tired? Or is the horse responding to the human? And over time, as you work with each individual horse, you get to see the differences, and you learn over time the language a particular horse is using. The other thing is that a lot of times in our culture, we don't know how to differentiate between our feelings. And when, for instance, you've walked into a room and you're in a good mood and there's somebody in there who's in a bad mood and they don't even have to say anything, and all of a sudden your energy level has dropped and you may even feel like you're suddenly in a bad mood and leave that room going home thinking, why am I in a bad mood? And then maybe pick some reason out of the blue and end up blaming your husband for something he did 3 days ago. So learning how this happens and then how to differentiate your feelings from the horse's feelings is one of the more sophisticated things that go on in this work.
So I can see why this field would be called equine facilitated psychotherapy, because it sounds like you kind of used the horse as a mirror, but then you must also need to have a psychotherapist there to help kind of make sense of all of these feelings that are coming up.
Yes, there's actually two sides to this field officially that I work with. One is called equine facilitated psychotherapy, and I do have a psychotherapist either present, or sometimes a psychotherapist will refer someone to me. They'll come to me 1 week and then they'll go to the psychotherapist the next week and they'll process what happens with me with them. Another thing that we do is called equine experiential learning, and that's where no psychotherapist is present and the person doesn't have any severe emotional issues, but they're actually working with the horse to become more balanced, and they're learning how to process their own feelings and use their feelings as information rather than trying to suppress them or trying to just explode and express them all over the place without really getting the information and making the appropriate changes.
Can you give me an example of how this works in practice?
Sure. You know, I had a really fascinating experience recently with a woman who came down for a workshop, and she showed up a day or two early, and she wanted to meet Rasa because she had read about Rasa in the book. And I said, well, yeah, I'm going to be teaching. You can come by at 4 in the afternoon and meet the horses. And there are a lot of people at the ranch where I currently have my practice. A lot of people come and go. And so I saw this woman from a distance, and I just felt the hair rising up on the back of my neck and just looking at this person. And I was thinking, oh, I really hope that's not her. I really hope that's not her. And so then she comes up, walks up to the fence. It is her. And I'm continuing to feel really uncomfortable. And the woman had just come from a Buddhist meditation. She was a very strict vegetarian. She does a lot of spiritual practice and a very accomplished meditator, and looked on the surface to be very peaceful. And I didn't know what was wrong with me, why I was acting this way or feeling this way. And it turned out that when she walked over to Rasa to meet Rasa, Rasa lunged at her with her teeth bared and her ears back and, you know, almost ready to reach out and bite her. And I'd never seen Rasa act that way with a human being before. And when I started to explore with this woman, well, what do you think Rasa was reflecting for you? And it turned out that she has a tremendous amount of suppressed anger toward a couple of family members that had been somewhat abusive to her in her life. And her meditation was really actually suppressing this anger rather than helping her process it and use it as information and get beyond it. So once she began to acknowledge her anger, Rasa immediately calmed down, and then Rasa became, in some sense, the closest to her of any person aside from me that I had ever seen. So the interesting thing was is that Rasa appeared at first to be a very aggressive horse. If you didn't understand that horses are mirroring someone's true emotions, you would say, wow, that's a scary, angry horse, and why is that horse in your therapy program? When in reality, the horse was reflecting the true feelings of this woman.
But, you know, on the other hand, I mean, I can see that the horse would help somebody recognize that they really had a lot of suppressed anger, but how do you get rid of it? I mean, you don't just sort of snap your fingers and it's gone.
Well, the interesting thing is, when someone begins to access their true feelings, and then we have some processes where we help them to use those feelings as information, people aren't very accomplished at using emotion as information in our culture. We're mostly just supposed to ignore it or suppress it, or sometimes it builds up and explodes, and then we feel bad about the fact that we express that anger. But anger actually has some legitimate reasons for existing. And so we explored those messages behind her anger and what they were telling her about relationships in her life. And as she began to use her anger as information in setting new boundaries with people who were essentially, you know, stepping over the line with her and mistreating her, when she started to come into a place of empowerment and use the anger as a sign that a new adjustment needed to be made, then the anger would lift naturally. Because when you get the message behind an emotion, it just goes away. It's amazing. It's true. It seems so simple, but it actually works that way.
Hmm. What is it about horses, do you think, that gives them the ability to do this, to pick up on people's emotions and reflect them back? I mean, can all animals do this, or is there something special about horses?
Well, all animals can do it, including human beings. The thing is that horses are really good at this, better than cats and dogs and tigers and goats and maybe some of the other animals we associate in life, because horses are preyed upon in nature. So it's really important for them to be able to assess the true emotional state and the true intentions of another herd member or a predator or a human being. Horses are able to do this at a distance. It's like their emotional radar, their ability to detect the true emotions behind any kind of facade, is raised, it's heightened, it's turned up really loud because it's a survival issue for them.
And I guess for the people who are needing to learn a kind of emotional literacy, I guess, is partly what you're talking about. Learning to work with a horse, I mean, this 1,000 pounds of muscle, this animal that can be dangerous, I suppose it really forces them to be really right up close and very present to their feelings.
Yes. It's amazing. Just the size of the animal alone will put people in a state of heightened awareness that they may not get into in a psychologist's office or in a conventional classroom setting. I mean, the horse being there and being who they are and being in some cases a very large unknown element to them puts them into a state that's more conducive to checking in with their own emotions.
Linda Kohanoff and her horses, including Rasa, practice equine-assisted psychotherapy in Tucson, Arizona. Anne Strainchamp spoke with her. Her book is The Tao of Equus.